It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-4 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers now lead the series 2-0 as we transition for games 3 and 4 up to Edmonton. Game 3 going Saturday, 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame show. And to help us break this one down, we go back to the radio booth, bringing the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, we'll start with the penalty kill for the Golden Knights. They are perfect in this game, 3 for 3. Tells a little bit of the story, but not the entire story. A valiant 5-minute penalty kill from the Golden Knights to kill off that major to Nick Waugh in overtime to give themselves a chance. It's unfortunate they weren't able to win this game because of the work put in on that PK.
Right. Well, I would say that if you told us before the game that the Knights would have to kill off 9 penalty minutes and did so successfully, that they would have won the game. Not only were they successful in killing off those 9 penalty minutes, they gave up 5 goals. So that's out of kilter. That just doesn't jive with how the Knights typically succeed. If they're going to have that sort of effort on the penalty kill, well, you're thinking it's going to be a low-scoring game, and it just has not happened on the defensive side to the degree that it needs to for Vegas. You can see the penalty kill having great success, but, you know, the Oilers were opportunistic, and while Adin Hill has made some outstanding saves in this series, even in defeat, there have also been a couple that shouldn't have gone in. It's simple as that. Meanwhile, Calvin Pickard has prevented some that probably should have gone in but didn't, and that includes this overtime period. Pickard got some help from his defense on that last attempt there by Victor Olofsson, but Petrangelo, Hertl, Olofsson, those opportunities there in overtime. The beginning of this overtime period was very much in Vegas's hands. They just couldn't finish. Calvin Pickard was the difference there, and even after the Knights killed off that penalty, you just figure that, okay, they've got some momentum. You can turn that into more chances, and it did. I think that really it was the non-call on Victor Arvidsson putting his stick between Braden McNabb's legs that sort of was stunning. You're almost like, wow, not only did we not get a call there, we've now lost number 3 for the time being, and it was shortly after that non-call that the Oilers scored. So difficult, you know, to handle that in the midst of the game. You've just had the swing emotionally of killing off a kill. You're physically drained, and then you have the mental setback of losing a teammate and having not gotten a power play yourself. So just handling all of that in the real throes of playoff hockey is hard to handle. And these Oilers have been the comeback kids, as we've talked about. 6 straight wins, all in comeback fashion, and all the stuff that they learned as a group through last year's run, down 3-0 to force game 7. All of that stuff seems to me has really benefited them. They seem to handle things late in games better than they did against Vegas 2 years ago in that 6-game series.
So from that perspective, and I'm with you in terms of the Braden McNabb scenario at the end of the game there, Victor Arvidsson, the trip, it should have been a penalty. It's not called. That's not the reason the Golden Knights lost this game. However, how do you think the Golden Knights are able to turn the page from that with, I'm sure, some raw feelings in the moment and turn it into a positive performance in Game 3?
Yeah, well, I mean, they scored 4 times. You know, Victor Olofsson has been among the players you wanted more from. You have the interesting scenario of Dorofeev out. Who would go in that spot? There's been a little bit of tinkering, and I'm speaking of even strength. Obviously, Olofsson and Dorofiev's spot on the power play where he scored both goals. But Olofsson with Saad and Hertl, you know, I think Olofsson also created stuff at even strength. I thought that group was pretty dangerous. So I think, Ryan, that you like the combinations of forwards in this game. Howden with Carlson and Smith. And we'll see, of course, Chris Knobloch will have the opportunity to match or avoid matching if he wants to on home ice. But I thought that Carlson, Smith, and Howden line did a solid job in creating chances, but also limiting the opportunities for McDavid, Draisaitl, and Perry. Obviously, Draisaitl scores the overtime goal, but it was by far not as dangerous of a line compared to Game 1. So I think that you like the combination of players today, and I would be, you know, depending on health, You would think that they would go back with the same configuration in Game 3. I think you'd like a lot of what you saw.
Now, let's talk about Aiden Hill here. Obviously redeemed himself in the third period, late stages of the third period, and certainly in overtime on that five-minute penalty kill for the Golden Knights. Where are you looking for improvement for Aiden? Because obviously the third period, three goals for the Oilers, gets away from him a little bit. Where are you looking to see Aiden improve?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are just some of those moments where you figure it's not a dangerous chance. Are you ready? You know, there is the physical exhaustion, there's the mental exhaustion, and I don't know what is really affecting Aiden Hill, right? I'm not in his head, and I'm not his doctor, but, you know, he did play 50 regular season games this year. That was one of his goals. He'd never come close to playing that number of regular season games in his career. Of course, 2 years ago, when he led the Knights to the Stanley Cup, you know, he had injuries throughout that season, and Knights had used five different goalies, and he was one of them. So I do wonder if, you know, just that attrition, a long season, 50 games, and now playing all these playoff games, if, you know, there's just that little bit that sometimes you lose focus just for a moment. I don't know, because at the same time, he's making some incredible saves. But, you know, the glaring, I'll call them easier goals allowed, are, you know, a concern. It just happens with a goalie at any point in time. And Hill was spectacular coming out of the Four Nations break. The one exception was the game against Los Angeles. But, you know, just terrific. And it seemed like every game he was keeping opponents to fewer than three goals. And that has not happened here in the postseason. You know, has, you know, given up at least two goals in every game, and obviously a couple times more than that, five here today. But I think that you're at the same time as you'd like to see him dial in on some of those easier goals. I also think that there are a couple of bounces that didn't go his way, and he also made spectacular saves.
Yeah.
I guess to cut to the chase here, Ryan, I don't think there's any question. He's the goalie. Like, I have doubt that he is the guy, because he does bounce back. You know, you give up a goal you don't like, but then, you know, really, really impressive. He doesn't bury himself. I think that there's resilience, and he gets better and better. So I think, you know, right now, you know, you're frustrated a little bit because, you know, Gustavsson was so good for Minnesota. Over the course of that six-game series, Gustavsson was better than Hill. So far in this series through two games, Pickard has been better than Hill, which is strange to say because Hill is usually the guy who is the better goalie. It just hasn't happened so far in this series or really this postseason.
All right, great stuff as always on the call tonight. Dan, enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Saturday.
Thanks, Ryan. Good night.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 5-4 loss to the Edmonton Oilers in overtime. The Oilers now lead the series 2-0. As we are hoping for Bruce Cassidy here in just a couple of moments, the Golden Knights, this is a tough one from a number of different angles, and we'll see if there's any update on Braden McNabb. But, you know, the big question mark coming out of this game beyond the 2-0 hole that the Golden Knights find themselves in right now is that they, depending on how Braden McNabb is, if you're without McNabb for any period of time, it's tough. Let's hear it from Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, hey, Bruce. On the play where Braden got injured, what did you see, and how deflating is it to lose not only one of your emotional leaders, but also one of your team leaders?
Well, it sucks to lose a player like that. He's a big part of our team, so we'll see where that goes. I don't know what his status will be. Listen, Gord's looking at it. He blew it. He missed the call. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's a can opener trip. It's a dangerous play. It's all those things, but it didn't get called, so you got to keep playing. You know, Nabber is one of our guys that we, probably one of the most popular teammates in the room, so that is a tough part of playing through it. It's not as easy as it looks. We're human, right? But at the end of the day, that's the task in front of you when those calls happen or don't happen. And they made a play and capitalized on it. So, it hurt. It stings to lose that way. Next question.
Early in overtime, it looked like you guys were carrying play. You had some opportunities to maybe score that go-ahead goal or winning goal, and then you take the five-minute major, but you kill the major. But Just how much did that take out of your team having to kill that 5-minute major?
Well, you know, the players are out there, and it's a lot of guys that rely on offensively too, and you try not to shorten the bench. But Nick Waugh's a guy that's a regular on our kill, so he's out, obviously. You lean on the other guys, but they're guys that drive our offense. But I think they'd be okay. I think the adrenaline will carry them through. Jack's in great shape. Carly we use a lot. Smitty and Howie did a lot of the killing with Stoney, but it's mostly Jack and Carly. And they're well-conditioned athletes, and they kept pushing, I thought. So it does take a little bit out of your ability then to – but listen, if you don't kill it, you're done. So there's no worrying about what's happening after it's killed. It's kind of like, okay, let's get our footing after that. And, we did, and unfortunately, which you alluded to earlier, kind of derailed that part. But at the end of the day, you do build momentum from that kill, and great to see the guys dig in.
Ryan.
Yes, I mean, there's the last 15 seconds, but how do you sort of assess a game like this where there's a lot of things you saw, whether it be the urgency, the way they're able to come back from giving up goals? Like, how do you sort of look at a night like this when it's all said and done?
Well, we lost, so that part's no good. So we're down 2-0. Oftentimes the playoffs doesn't matter if you lose, in overtime or 10-0, whatever, you're on to the next game. So there's some of that, but as I said, this one will sting, but the positive tomorrow will be good, right? I felt we outplayed the Oilers for the most part of the game and deserved a better fate. So how will the guys look at that? If they take it as, hey, we just got to carry that over. We've always said we want to get better as the series goes on. Well, we're certainly better in game one. So we got to improve on today if we expect to get back into it. It's that simple. So that's a veteran group. There's times you look back on series too, if it goes your way, when you go, that was a turning point there. We battled through that and off we went. So that's a little bit of what's in front of us. We'll lick our wounds tonight. I'm sure they'll lick a few of theirs, and then we'll get back at it in Edmonton.
Go Mark, Paul, Jesse.
Yeah, Bruce. I don't think your team can do a better job on 97 and 29 than you did all night. No points, not a lot of action. And then they get you at the very end. Is there anything you do different?
Are you trying to rub it in?
No, I'm not trying to rub it in.
I'm kidding.
Can you play him better than you played him tonight is my question.
Listen, it's 4-4. I'm thinking their top guys aren't on the score sheet. We need this one to go our way because of some of those things you just said, but didn't. So and they made the play at the end, and they don't need much, right? So credit to their depth. They found ways to score. What I saw the LA series, I think Edmonton did a good job of that too. So their depth is contributing. That's how you have runs. So, I like the way if we can kind of replicate that game plan against them, it'd be a little tougher up there. They might have different matchup opportunities. But tonight we did a good job on them. So that's another part of being positive, going back to the previous question. That, that's those guys, you got to make it hard on them. Try to make them earn every inch of ice and we did that tonight. They got us at the end.
Take last two, Paul and Jesse.
Hi, Bruce. Paul de los Santos, NHL.com. Kind of lost in a shuffle as Victor Olofsson's performance today. Just what did you see from him for tonight, and particularly on the power play?
Well, he shot the puck when it came over to the elbow, right? Like, that's what he does well. And I thought there was a power play in the second period. He turned down shots. It was like, Victor, you're there. That, him and Pav both have good releases, good shots, or left sticks. They're one-timers, so shoot it. Puck shows up. Be selfish in those situations. So I'm glad he shot the second one. First one was a good play. That's, certainly one of the ones we work on. Jack's seam pass was a little more patient, see if someone open up. Anytime you get the goalie moving east-west, it's tough to make the save and or control the rebound. So those are good looks. That's a good for Ole. I thought he played very well. Made a nice play off the wall on another goal. So I think that was Carly's. So good on him. Played well.
Bruce, Jesse Granger at The Athletic. You have to win 4 of the next 5. How important is it for Aiden to be a difference maker for you guys?
Well, that's part of it, right? That's, there's positions and areas of the game you got to outplay them. And that's one that, he's going to have to do that at some point. It's just the makeup of any series usually.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 5-4 loss in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. And you can stay on top of the VGK's chase for the Stanley Cup with the team's official mobile app, available now for Apple and Android devices throughout the playoffs. App users will have opportunities to win tickets to select home games, so don't miss out. Download it today. We're back with more in the moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Show your ticket at any Nacho Daddy location after a VGK home game and receive a free world-famous scorpion shot or Daddy's margarita. Must be 21 or older to redeem at your local Nacho Daddy location on VGK home game days. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-4 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Pavel Dorofeev did not play, out with an injury. Day-to-day is the designation on Dorofeev. And late in the game, just a couple of minutes before the Edmonton Oilers won it, Victor Arvidsson tripped Braden McNabb. McNabb went hard into the end boards, immediately down the tunnel. No update from Bruce Cassidy and his media availability, so we'll keep an eye on whether or not Braden McNabb is an option for the Golden Knights in game number 3. Let's take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and the Golden Knights had a pair of early power plays and opened the scoring on Victor Olofsson's first career playoff goal.
Back for Eichel at the left. Eichel to the goal line. Stone back door. They score! Victor Olofsson, his first career Stanley Cup playoff goal. 1-0 Knights with 11:18 to play in the first.
Victor Olofsson from Mark Stone and Jack Eichel on the power play. 8:42 of the first period made it 1-0 Vegas. And because the Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. So the Golden Knights would take that one-goal lead into the second period, and the Oilers tied the game just past the midway point of the second period on Jake Walman's blast from the point.
Gets a return pass left corner to the point. A try, they score! Jake Walman, his first career playoff goal. Edmonton ties it 1-1 with 8:29 to go in the second period.
Jake Walman from Vasily Podkolzin and Victor Arvidsson, 11:31 of the second period, tied the game at 1. Then the Oilers took the lead just over 3 minutes later on a long-range wrist shot from Vasily Podkolzin.
And now it goes to center. Oilers coming ahead in the slot. Score! Oh, looked like a nothing chance, but the Oilers have taken a 2-1 lead on a shot that skims the ice and goes under Hill's left pad.
Vasily Podkolzin from Victor Arvidsson and John Klingberg, 15:18 of the second period, made it 2-1 Edmonton. And then the Oilers extended their lead during a stretch of 4-on-4 hockey when Ryan Nugent-Hopkins set up Darnell Nurse in the slot.
Nurse straight on, shoots, and scores! Darnell Nurse! And it's 3-1 Edmonton with 2:43 to play in the second period.
Second of the playoffs for Darnell Nurse from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 17-17 of that second period, made it 3-1 Edmonton. However, the Golden Knights answered back just under a minute later on a slick redirection from William Karlsson.
Kane and Whiteclad went to benches. Shot from the right. Eichel's been in, tipped home by William Karlsson. Karlsson's second of the playoffs, and the Knights answer back.
William Karlsson, his second of the postseason from Jack Eichel and Alex Pietrangelo, 18:10 of that second period, made it 3-2 Edmonton. So the Oilers would take that one-goal lead into the third period, and they restored a two-goal lead 2 minutes in on Evander Kane's third of the playoffs.
Oilers get it towards the Vegas line. Hyman towards Kane, back toward Hyman, and in front, diving save, but now it trickles home. The second line for the Oilers converges on the Vegas net. Evander Kane makes it 4-2 Edmonton.
Evander Kane from Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 1:52 of the third period, made it 4-2 Edmonton. And the Golden Knights responded on the power play just over 2 minutes later with Victor Olofsson's second goal of the game.
Eichel to the middle, backdoor shot, they score! Olofsson again! Victor Olofsson gets the Knights' second power play goal of the day. He's got two! And the Knights trail 4-3, 4.5 minutes into the third period.
Victor Olofsson from Jack Eichel and Mark Stone on the power play, 4:32 of the third period, made it 4-3 Edmonton, and the Golden Knights continued to pressure the Oilers and tied the game on a blast from Alex Pietrangelo.
Olofsson to it with Pietrangelo on the right. Out to the left, Hannifin holds the line. Back to the right, Pietrangelo. He shoots, score!
Alex Pietrangelo from Noah Hanifin and Victor Olofsson, 11:58 of the third period, tied the game at four. And then Aiden Hill had to come up with his best save of the day, robbing Corey Perry on the doorstep.
Now on the right, it's Klingberg. Centers off the stick, kick save. Oh my goodness, the toe stop by Hill. Now it's a loose puck near the crease, and it's covered by Hill. Left toe stop by Hill. Corey Perry. Leon Draisaitl, great opportunities for the Oilers.
So with that stop from Aiden Hill and the game tied 4-4, we would enter overtime, and early in the overtime period, Nick Waugh was called for a major penalty for cross-checking Trent Frederick in the face.
Waugh, oh, penalty. Waugh got Frederick right in the face. Unfortunate timing. That's a penalty against Waugh for sure. Frederick.
Now they're going to review the major.
So Nick Waugh, on the review, it was upheld. It was a five-minute major and a game misconduct for him. The Golden Knights were tasked with shutting down the Edmonton Oilers on a five-minute major. They get the job done. They get through it, and then Victor Arvidsson trips up Braden McNabb. McNabb goes hard into the end boards. No call on that play. And on the next play, the Oilers won the game as Connor McDavid set up Leon Draisaitl.
Played by Nugent Hopkins, now walks in, feeds left. Draisaitl! Oh my goodness, they scored overtime! Draisaitl wins it 5-4.
Leon Draisaitl, his fifth of the postseason from Connor McDavid and Corey Perry, 15-20 of OT, wins the game for the Edmonton Oilers 5-4. And puts the Oilers up 2-0 as this series shifts over to Edmonton for games 3 and 4. We're back with more in a moment. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
VGK's official watch parties are set for games 3 and 4. Saturday will be at the Oasis Pool at Fountain Blue. And Monday's game will have two watch parties at Stadium Swim and on the Water Street Plaza in Henderson. All official team watch parties include entertainment, giveaways, and a chance to win tickets to a future home game. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 5-4 in overtime to the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers now lead the series 2-0. They take both games here inside T-Mobile Arena. And we look ahead now to game number 3 on Saturday at 6 p.m. The Golden Knights were better in this game from where they were in game number 1. They generated so many more chances. They were much more dangerous offensively. They got to Calvin Pickard to a certain degree. And I'm encouraged by what I saw from the Golden Knights in terms of getting better from game 1 to game 2. However, you're going to have to find ways to capitalize on the chances. As much as we can look at the McNabb penalty, the missed penalty on McNabb to be more accurate, as a turning point, as something that you're frustrated by. There were plenty of chances early in that overtime for the Golden Knights to end that game before we got to that point, and it didn't happen. You got to give Calvin Pickard some credit. He made some big saves, especially early in the overtime period. But for the Golden Knights, take the good, move on to game number three, and you just got to worry about winning the next game. That's the focus for the Golden Knights going into game number three. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's coming up next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor, you're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-4 the final. The Edmonton Oilers defeat the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime. The Oilers lead this best of seven series 2-0. Games 3 and 4 in Edmonton. Game 3 goes Saturday. 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame show. And game 4 on Monday. And for the Golden Knights, they are looking to have a different result, but a similar game. 702-876-1340, that's the number. 702-876-1340. I'm interested to hear from you. If you were at the game, pick up the phone, dial the number. If you're driving home, listening in the car, pick up the phone, dial the number. Where are you at right now after the first two games of this series? Game one, the Golden Knights didn't play particularly well. Game two tonight, this was a fantastic hockey game. Top to bottom, it had drama, it had lead changes, it was edge of your seat entertainment. I thought the Golden Knights were the better team, but they were just unable to capitalize on the chances that they had when the game was in the balance to win it. 702-876-1340. If you want to talk about penalties or missed calls, this is the time to do it. 702-876-1340. We have lines open. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I think you said it very, very, very well, Ryan. Same effort, better results. Mm. And that's what you got to hope for. I mean, if anybody's giving up out there, and if anybody's going to criticize Adin Hill, just save it, okay? Just put your phone away and save it. Because he did give up two goals that I think should have been stopped by a guy the caliber of Adin Hill. Mm. But he must have saved at least a dozen. And it was an amazing effort until it wasn't. And then all of a sudden, the two best players on the planet, perhaps, decided, that's enough, we're going home. And it just hurts so bad to see their fourth line play so well. And then the big boys win it in the end. I don't think anyone could have predicted this game, but you know, if you're an Elliott Friedman or any other nonpartisan, it's a great game to see, wasn't it? I mean, it really was a great hockey game.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was a really, really good hockey game. You know, Mike, you bring up the Edmonton Oilers, their depth. Like, this is who the Oilers are, right? Like, this is a team that got essentially nothing from Draisaitl and McDavid through 70-plus minutes until the game was in the balance. And it's one breakdown, and it's one two-on-one, and that's the difference in the Edmonton Oilers this year as opposed to 2 years ago. They didn't get play like that from their fourth line in the series against the Golden Knights.
And I must confess, I missed it entirely at the end of the Minnesota series. I said to you, I think our 88% are better than their 88%. I'm not so sure that's true. And you're right. I don't think it is true. I think that the two superstars are who they are. But the other players who play forward for Edmonton are, well, they were one goal away from a Stanley Cup. And this time, they may not be one goal away. They're that good. Also, do you think Nick Waugh will get a suspension?
I'm really not sure, Mike. I can imagine it's going to be looked at, obviously. I think getting the five in the game in the moment probably leans toward it not being a suspension for Nick Waugh, but I mean, it, you know, I think you can understand, and I think based on my vantage point of the play, I think he was trying to bat the puck out of midair, but, you know, it's still a cross-check to the face. So I wouldn't be surprised if it goes beyond, and you're looking at supplemental discipline, but right now I'm just not sure.
Well, be kind to everyone as you move through this show, Ryan, especially Rita, because I imagine she is beside herself right now. And I'm sure the P word is going to come out more than it needs to. So hang in there, buddy, and we'll talk again after Saturday's game.
All right, appreciate it, Mike. Thanks so much for the call. 702-876-1340. We have lines open. If you are emotional, frustrated, angry, upset, or optimistic, like if you believe you saw enough from the Golden Knights tonight that you know, leads you to believe they're going to be able to turn this thing around, I'd love to hear from you. 702-876-1340. Let's bring in Rita. Hey, Rita, how you doing?
Oh, you know how I'm doing.
Yep.
You've seen it. I've texted you enough or tweeted you enough tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay, first off, Mike, keep your kissing up to Edmonton to yourself. I don't give a damn how good they are. We're good, too. Second of all, where the hell was our five-minute penalty? They sure made sure Edmonton got theirs, didn't they? You know what? I got to tell you, I've been at war on Twitter all night, and I'm pretty damn good at it, by the way. And I want anybody that's seen the movie The Untouchables will remember Sean Connery saying to Elliot Ness, they take out one of ours, we take out one of theirs. I say it's war. Kick ass on Saturday. I know I'm not having a good night, so I'm not going to wish you one, Ryan. But for God's sakes, don't be defending those damn refs. I'm sorry. They missed the Jack Eichel one, too.
Yeah.
And they were big ones at important times.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think it's the reason the Golden Knights lost the game, but... Yeah, I think
it was, and you know what, we were going like a bat out of hell in overtime. It was a new game.
Right, you're right, Rita. The Golden Knights started off overtime. They were exceptional. They had a 7-1 shot advantage in the first 6 minutes or so of overtime until the Nick Waugh penalty. So you're right, they were awesome in overtime, but the chances were there, right? Like as much as I think...
Screw Pickard, man. I'm tired of that sucker.
All right. No, that's... Listen, I love the energy. I do. All I'm saying is there were chances there, right? And, you know, you convert, you bury one of those chances. We don't get to the scenario where, you know, you're having to kill off a five-minute major. And you're...
Okay, how long was it after they tried to kill McNabb? Did they score?
It wasn't long. And I understand what your point is. I do. And it's, to me, that's a penalty. It should have been a penalty. The Golden Knights should have been on the power play. I agree with you.
Amanda. So, you know, me and Mrs. Wallace are on the same side. I'm looking at her tweet right now. She's a good woman.
She really is. Rita, I know you're not having a good night, but please have a good night, okay?
Good night.
All right. That's Rita. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. That's the number, 702-876-1340. We go back out to the phone lines, bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm good.
So, you know, they were kind of able to do they were able to do the things that I pointed out in game one. Again, they killed off all of Edmonton's power plays, including the save 5 minute major. And we were able to score on the power play. It was just 5-on-5 play that really kind of screwed us over today. But I don't, like, we looked like the better team. We had so many good chances. I think that if they keep playing like we saw them play today, that we have a great chance of winning this series. I think we have a great chance of going into Edmonton and stealing two games in Edmonton. My major concern is I hope that Braden McNabb is okay, and that we aren't going to have to miss him for any time. And then hopefully we can also get Pavel Dorofeev back. You know, it's just, it happens. People get hurt in the playoffs, but you really want to get them back. And then just, you know, Aiden Hill has got to step it up just a little bit. I love him. I'm not, like, calling for him to get it pulled or nothing or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we know what he's capable of, and I absolutely think that he'll be able to do it. I mean, he had to make some fantastic saves during that five-minute major.
Yeah, you know what, Stephanie, we'll pause on Aiden Hill here for a minute, because you're right. There were big-time stops from Aiden Hill, specifically in the third period and in overtime, most notably on the five-minute major for the Edmonton Oilers. However, when you do look at this game on the whole in the balance, you were looking for a save, right, on the second and third goals for the Edmonton Oilers. And if for no other reason, you don't want one goal to become two, to become three, you know what I mean? And that's really kind of the story of the third period in game number one, and to a large degree, the story of the game here in game number two, at least in the second period. And you know, you heard from Bruce Cassidy. He's looking for Aiden Hill in the next game in this series to have a stretch where he is outplaying Cal Pickard. And you got to tip your cap, because Pickard's playing some of the best hockey of his career, but we know what Aiden can do. We know how good he can be, especially in these moments. And so you're hopeful that in game number three, as early as game number three, that's what you get out of Aiden.
Yeah, I mean, you know that he is capable of that. Like, we've seen it, obviously. He's a Stanley Cup champion. And I hope that the play that we saw out of him in overtime, of course, obviously the one gets let in, but honestly, how many goalies would have been able to save that? I don't think very many. But the play we saw out of him during that five-minute major, like, that's the Aiden Hill that we know, and I expect to see that game three.
All right, great stuff, Stephanie. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. 702-876-1340. If you were at the game and you have strong opinions, I want to hear from you. We can talk about refs. We can talk about penalties. We can talk about calls, non-calls. We can talk about what you liked out of the Golden Knights tonight. Because as much as the result isn't ideal, I thought the Golden Knights made big strides in how they approached the game, how they played the game. I believe the Golden Knights were the better team in this one. If you agree with me, call in. If you disagree with me, call in. I'd love to hear from you. 702-876-1340. Taking more of your phone calls on the other side of the break. It's the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
It's the Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-4. The final in overtime, the Edmonton Oilers defeat the Vegas Golden Knights, take a 2-0 series lead. Game 3 goes Saturday, 6 o'clock, puck drop, 5 o'clock, pregame show in Edmonton as the Golden Knights look to get on the board in the series. 702-876-1340. We have lines open. If you were at the game, I want to hear from you. If you have strong opinions, I want to hear from you. So pick up the phone, dial the number. If you call in, we're putting you on the air. 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Tony. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan. I was like, we were at game one and two. Game one, I think, was a game that we gave away to Pickard. If you remember, if you watched after the second goal that Stoney had scored, Skinner was actually up out of his seat getting his gear on, and they were looking at putting him in net. And we let him wiggle off the hook and regain his footing. Tonight, I think he stole a game from us. He was making the high-danger stops, especially on Hurdle. Hurdle was in that bumper position. He must have had three or four really solid chances. Same way with he made a couple of phenomenal kick saves on Eichel. It just when he needed to make the big stops in the high-danger areas, he was making them. Big Hill fan, but you know, he had two soft goals. Let's be honest, he had two soft goals that shouldn't have made it in. That did. He has to play better. Bruce Cassidy stopped short of coming out and really criticizing him, and I think that was appropriate not to go full criticize on him. But he does need to step up a little bit better. But even Hill, with that said. The two saves that he made just before they scored in overtime.
Yeah.
Forget Pietrangelo. What are you thinking? I mean, he could have easily given up those two goals, but the effort tonight. You were right. We were the better team on ice. We kept those two, you know, the two superstars on the planet in check for the majority of the game. You didn't even know they existed. We can't let their fourth line be that good, especially when our fourth line is that good. So, you know, I understand the depth response, but you know what? Our fourth line is much better than I think than theirs, and letting their fourth line raise to that level is unexcusable. The big question I have for you, though, is if I see at least one game suspension for Waugh, unless you can convince him in his interview that it wasn't a malicious act. But going forward, if we don't have Waugh and we don't have Hague, or excuse me, McNabb, you know, who are we bringing up to fill that spot?
Yeah, so, I mean, in the event that Braden McNabb is unable to go, you're looking at either Caden Korzak or Ben Hutton. Like, those are going to be the two guys that you're focused in on. Because it's the left side, I would be inclined to think it's going to be Ben Hutton getting the call going in. He's played incredibly well when he's had to come in off the bench for the Golden Knights. He's done it in the regular season, most notably against the Edmonton Oilers even a couple of years ago. So my guess is that I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We'll see if McNabb's available, but that would be my first option. Likely Ben Hutton, and then, you know, whatever may come with Nick Waugh. I think you're probably looking at, you know, a player that has really done a lot of good for the Golden Knights over the course of the season. Cole Schwint down the middle, especially if you're trying to go center for center, that would be a player to keep an eye on or keep in mind. And then you've got Alexander Holtz as an option as well, not to play down the middle. But you drop him down, yeah. or you drop Brett Howden down to center that fourth line. You bring Alexander Holtz in. That's an option as well. So those are kind of the ideas I have in my head if that's the direction for game three.
And I wish Coach Cassidy had made the line switches in game one and went back to where we were at now. Mm. I thought that was a plan going forward because the original lines matched up so much better against Edmonton as opposed to how they were set against Minnesota. Mm. But you know what? Right now, it's just win one game.
Yep.
Win one game and then play. Look for the next. So let's win one game. That's all we got to do is win one.
All right, great stuff. Tony, thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Marianne. Hey, Marianne, how you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Well, the way I figure, I'm just tired of our poor guys playing so hard and doing all the right things and then having stupid calls I mean, they weren't calling anything in overtimes, you know, in all the other games. And I don't see why that they play like they played. And then they give us no calls that, you know, should, I mean, they called it against Hague. They should have called that one against McNabb. And then he's hurt, you know, on top of it. So, but we're still going to win. That's I'm everybody don't give up, because if anything, this is going to give our guys more incentive to go up there and win two and tie it. And that's how I feel.
All right. Good stuff there, Marianne. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it. Always a beacon of positivity. You know, for the Golden Knights, the objective is very, very simple. You go up to Edmonton and you're focused on game three, and you got to win a game. Really, that's what's in front of the Golden Knights. And I do think, given some of the commentary that I'm seeing coming out of the Golden Knights locker room, specifically on the Arvidsson trip to Braden McNabb, I'm expecting the Golden Knights to be as fired up and ready to go in game three as we've seen them to this point in the postseason, and I thought they were good from that perspective here in game number two. Take a break, wrap it up next on the Extended Postgame Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Postgame Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, Extended Postgame Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 5-4 the final. The Edmonton Oilers defeat the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime. The Oilers now lead the series 2-0. Game 3, Saturday, 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame show in Edmonton, as the Golden Knights look to cut the series deficit to just one game, get themselves on the board in that regard. And if you are growing into a series, that's the objective. The Golden Knights were better tonight in Game 2 than they were in Game Number 1. However, there were still chances left on the table for the Golden Knights. They were able to get to Cal Pickard, but he did make some big-time saves when the game was in the balance, especially early on in overtime. If you're the Golden Knights and you're a fan of this team, you are looking for the same effort, the same type of game, just hopefully with a different result. That's what you're shooting for in game number three. For the Golden Knights, it's simple. All you got to do is win one game. Focus on the next game, win that game, and then we'll go from there. That's going to do it for us here on the Extended Postgame Show. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio keeping us on the air, making sure everything sounds great. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your postgame show. It's not as much fun without your calls and your input until Saturday. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights Postgame Show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.